Join me once again in the book of Philippians, chapter 3. We will be concentrating on verse 10 and 11, but to help us set the context, I'm going to begin reading at verse 8. Hear the infallible, inerrant word of the living God. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his most holy word. I draw your attention to the title I've given the sermon today, and it's basically from the text itself. And it is, Know Him and Be Like Him. Question for you. Can a person really know another person? To know means to perceive directly, grasp in the mind with clarity or certainty. So again, the question, can a person grasp with certainty all there is to know about another person? And in asking that question, I mean really, really know a person emotionally, physically, intellectually, spiritually. Can we know all that is to know about another person? There are those who would argue that no one can know everything there is to know about another, even those of us who have spent 47 years together, or how many years Dale and Juanita have had together. And there are those who would say that most have some part of their lives unknown to others, even those closest to you. However, in order to function in our lives, in order to function within our families, in order to function and to care for and love someone, one must come to know that person at some level in order for that relationship to flourish. So how does one come to know another more deeply? And when I speak about knowing, I'm not speaking of having a knowledge. I know who the President of the United States is, but I have no knowledge or knowing of him in depth. And so please understand when I ask the question, I'm speaking of that very, very deep, deep knowing. So how do we come to know another one so deeply? Well, the first and best way is to spend time with each other, time together in different settings, school, work, dating, trips together, in pleasant situations, but also in challenging situations because we act differently in those settings. Psychologists would suggest that during these times together, in whatever setting that might be, it would be good to ask some deep-seated questions in order to get to know that person. Questions like, what are you most proud of? What are you most ashamed of? If you could go back and change one decision in your life, what would that be? Do you think your parents did a good job raising you? What is the one thing you wish others understood about you? And there's a whole litany. One paper I read had 200 questions. We'd be over dinner before that got to the end of that conversation. And there are other questions and other ways to get to know, but it's to know. And again, in our text today, this is what Paul is desiring. He desires to know Jesus. And again, this is not having awareness. This is not having a passing knowledge. This is that in-depth knowing. He desires to be found in Jesus Christ. Paul desires to have a knowledge of the things of Jesus that will affect and impact his life. This is what he's speaking of. In getting to know Jesus, Paul desires to be like him. And so hence the title of the sermon, Know Him and Be Like Him. So, does Paul start asking deep-seated questions of Jesus that the psychologist would suggest for us? Well, certainly not. He could. But we need to understand that if we desire to know Jesus Christ, everything that God desires us to know about Him has already been given to us. So you can ask all day and search and pursue to get to know who Jesus Christ is. What Paul is speaking of here is to understand and be affected by being in Christ Jesus, as we spoke of last week. And being in Christ Jesus means that we have died to self, we have died with Christ, and we will be resurrected with Jesus. So being in Jesus, our lives are consumed in His work. And see, this is what Paul is after in this entire passage that I read, some last week and then this week. To know, to know, to know. Now this week he gets into the specifics of what he desires to know. And what Paul desires, again, is knowing Christ Jesus to the point, to the degree that it affects his life. Our goal should be the same. The Christian's goal, must be the same. To know Jesus and to be like Jesus. And all of life's pursuits fail in comparison. Just as I've read here, Paul says, I count everything as a loss to know Jesus Christ. And we must continuously seek to know and to be like Him. Christianity, our faith, our belief system, unlike any other denomination, unlike any other religion in the world, it is not a religion of rules and rituals that we must keep in order to gain heaven. We've spoke about that several times, even in Sunday school again this morning. Christianity is unique to any other religion because it is about having a personal, intimate relationship with a person. With a person. Which leads us, with the guidance of the Holy Spirit, to mature and to be like Him. How are we going to become like Jesus Christ? What we're doing here, our Bible studies at home, our prayer life, Sunday school, discussions with individuals, mentoring, challenging each other, encouraging each other. The Christian's goal is to know Him and become like Him. And again, verse 8, I give you, I count everything as a loss of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus. That's what Paul is after, and this is what we are after. And Paul found his worth and his value in Jesus Christ. Being a Christian requires that we know who Jesus is. And coming into Christianity, there are certain things we need to know. As I mentioned in Sunday school this morning, it is necessary for us to preach the gospel on every opportunity we have. As a preacher, as a minister, it is my goal, my job, my call to preach the gospel to you. You as a church should demand that the gospel be preached to you. So these elementary things about our faith are things that we should remind ourselves about. And as I go down this list, you're going to say, well, I know that. But we need to be reminded. First of all, being a Christian requires that we know who Jesus is. He is the eternal God in human flesh. He is the God-man. fully God and fully man. We need to know the things he did and the things he taught. You need to know that he died on the cross for your sins, that he was raised from the dead. See, these are critical to our faith. Because when I say that we are in Christ Jesus, then whatever Jesus did, we will do. Romans chapter 6 teaches us that in Christ Jesus we died. But he goes on to also say that in Christ Jesus, as he was resurrected, so will we. And then we need to move beyond these facts. As I've said, these things we need to know, but we need to know Jesus personally. How do you do that? Well, thankfully, the moment you became a saved person, became a believer, you entered into that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And you began to work to know him. You were saved, therefore you know who Jesus is. And like any other relationship, if you wish that relationship with Jesus Christ to grow, then we must do what we do in our gardens. Cultivate. What do we do to make it grow? What do we do? We do things to cause it to grow. It's the same with a personal relationship with Jesus. We do the things necessary for it to grow. And we do this so that we can be like him. When we entered into that relationship with Jesus Christ, we changed. We were changed. Think back when you first met your spouse. When you first met your spouse and you fell in love, you got married, you were changed forever. I hope for the better. Nobody's doing it. Okay. It's the same with Jesus Christ, that we are changed forever. When we meet Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, he marks you as his for life. The guarantee of the Holy Spirit in you means you belong to Jesus Christ, that you are in him, just as Paul desires. Here in verses 10 and 11, we read of what it means to be like Jesus Christ. Let me read them to you again. Verse 10. Paul writes, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share in his sufferings. We may not be too fond of that one. Becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. First, to be like Jesus means realizing the power of the resurrection. Paul came to know the power of the resurrected Lord when the Lord Jesus Christ struck him down on that Damascus road. Now, not all conversions are as dramatic as Paul. I remember once Miss Betty Sides met me at the door after worship one day. Because I said that we should all remember the day we came to know who Jesus Christ was. We came to know that day we were saved. What day was that for you? Many of us have that day. Well, Miss Betty was concerned. She said, I don't remember the day. And so she began to question. And I said, no. It's the same with my Judy. Being that covenant child, there's a day that she does not remember a day that she didn't know who Jesus Christ was. But on that day, whenever that occurred, the Holy Spirit came into your heart, came into my heart. I remember it, June 2nd. I was 20 years old. But on that day, when he came into my heart, I was changed forever. Because of the Holy Spirit that entered into me, changed me forever. And this is what Paul saw on the Damascus Road. This is what you see in the coming of to Jesus Christ. That same resurrection power that Paul witnessed is the same resurrection power that you witness in your salvation. But it's also that power of sustaining. It is the power to sustain the believer as we journey through this life. Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the spirit that dwells in us. Here he means that the Holy Spirit, whose power was necessary to overwhelm that sinfulness, to redeem you, that dwells in every believer. And as I've said, that same power That same resurrection power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is the same power that resides in you today. And I think sometimes we don't quite grasp that. Secondly, to be like Jesus Christ requires having fellowship with Him in His sufferings. And again, this is one we don't particularly care for. Our Savior came to suffer for our sins on the cross, and during His entire adult ministry, He faced the misunderstanding. He faced the opposition, the betrayal. While we can never suffer like He suffered, we are to follow His model and face the challenges and the trials of this life. When we go through the heartaches and the pain, when we go through experiencing the illness of our loved ones, the loss of our loved ones, we are witnessing and experiencing the same thing Jesus experienced. And our desire to be like Him, but we should do it also with the same knowledge He had. Why did He cry before He raised Lazarus from the tomb? Lazarus' sister said, "He's passed away, and sorry, Jesus, but you're late." But they acknowledged that He was the resurrection. But why did He cry knowing He was going to raise him? Because of this relationship, because of the fellowship. Why do we cry when we lose loved ones? When we know we're going to see them again? I pray we know that. It is because we know what Jesus experienced in the resurrection, so will we also. So will we also. But the heartaches and the pains means that we are in Christ and we suffer through those things just as He did. But knowing this, Jesus said, "In the world you will have tribulations, but take heart, I have overcome the world." I love that passage. Paul writes, having fellowship with Him in His sufferings. This word fellowship, it lends to the intimacy that we have with Jesus Christ. It lends to the intimacy, and Paul knew of this fellowship. When Paul was preaching in Corinth, he was very much afraid. However, the Lord Jesus Christ came to him at one night in a vision, and it's recorded in Acts 18 what Jesus said to him. He said, "Do not be afraid, but go on speaking and do not be silent." In our heartaches and pain is when we can show the world what it means to have a strong faith. It's easier to have a strong faith. A beautiful day like today, the sun's shining, it's awesome. I'm a strong Christian. But let those heartaches come in life. Let those losses come in life. Where's your faith then? I remember after Marley passed away, some of my colleagues very much expected me to step out of the ministry. How can you go on and do that? They expected me to quit. Never thought of it. And over 80-some-odd people have come to know Jesus Christ because of Marley's story. How many were affected by Cody's passing? How many will be affected by Elizabeth's passing? We don't know that yet. But as we tell those stories and share that faith that God has given us, the world expects you to crawl into a dark hole when you face those kinds of things. But we don't. We bring the light in the room. I was taught in seminary, when we visit someone, we're bringing God into the room. That strong faith, even in our sufferings. And then here's another one. It is just really, to be like Jesus, we must be conformed to His death. And again, this is challenging. But it means conformed to his death means dying to sin, dying to self. Just as Jesus Christ died on that cross, we are to take up our crosses and die just as well. Paul writes in Galatians chapter 2, I've been crucified with Christ. But he goes on to say, it is not me, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Take up your cross. That cross is an instrument of death. As I've said before, we wear it around our necks now. We wear it on logo lapels and things. We've made it pretty. Well, that's because Jesus Christ defeated the death of that cross. But that cross still means death. So when Jesus says, take up your cross, not his cross, yours. Take up yours. What is your cross? What is your cross? The heartaches and the pains and the challenges of this life. But my cross also means I put myself on that cross. I desire to die on that cross to self, put self away. And that is so very difficult. And then fourthly, and this is the one I like, to be like Jesus means we live in the surety. We live with assurance of the resurrection. Don't forget that, Sheila. Don't forget that. Don't forget that. The assurance. I am so very thankful that in over the 95 funerals I've been involved with, I've never had to do the funeral of a non-believer. And I'm thankful because I don't know what I would say. But to the family of one who is a believer, is a believer, still believes, the hope. It's because of this, the assurance of the resurrection. This is the ultimate power of God Almighty. The Christian, just like Jesus Christ, will rise from the dead. We may place our loved ones in a container. We may put them in the ground for a period of time. But please know at that moment of passing, immediately, they're in the presence of God Almighty. I'm kind of envious. But it is because of the resurrection. Now, this phrase here, that I may by any means attain the resurrection from the dead, it, actually in the Greek language, if you kind of word it out, it says a rising up and out from among the dead ones. And so it paints a picture for me that there's no longer any confinement. There's no longer any burden. There's no longer trapped in the confines of death. Death to the Christian means very little except for passing from one existence to another because of the power of the resurrection, because our Lord Jesus Christ rose from the grave. Paul writes, 1 Corinthians 15, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Because it has none. It has none. Death has no victory over the Christian. So these are the things Paul desires, that he would be like Jesus Christ, that he may know him in his power of the resurrection, suffer along with him, becoming like him in his death, that he would obtain the resurrection. So this is our goal. This is our ambition. To know Jesus Christ and to be like him. Are you prepared for that? Do we understand? Can we comprehend the magnitude of these things? The dying of self, taking up the cross, sharing in sufferings, but living with the hope of the resurrection. We in the United States probably cannot grasp this as well as our brothers and sisters in China. The many Christians that were killed in the Sudan 5 and 6 years ago. Those being persecuted when the parent has to stand there and watch your child be decapitated? Could we stand that? There's stories of the martyrs in the Roman Empire in the 2nd and 3rd century being brought into the Colosseum. One story of a man by the name of Irenaeus was brought into the Colosseum in a caged cart. The lions were there, and when they opened the door, he jumped out and ran toward the lions, because he understood what it meant. We in the United States have no idea, have no clue what it means to be persecuted. To know Jesus Christ and to be like him, to achieve this, we first depend on the work of the Holy Spirit in us. Then we must also spend time with Jesus in his word so that we come to know who he is. I pray that each day we grow more and more to be like him. Amen. Amen.